Good morning, everyone. It's again an amazing privilege for me to be here with you guys this morning. And first up, for those of you that don't know, Pastor DeBeer is away on a well-deserved family holiday. And he asked me to specifically tell you guys that they love you and that they miss you and that they are continually praying for you guys. And even though they're away on holiday, their hearts are still right here with you. So he just asked me to tell you guys that. And again, as I said now, it's just, again, just an amazing privilege for me to be with you guys this morning and to really come together as a church to open up the Word of God and to see what God would have to say to us, His church, through His Word. Again, just a reminder, we're deviating at the moment from how we normally do things at Calvary. As you know, we teach through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But currently, we're going through this four-part topical series called Be Zealous. And for those of you that have not been with us over the past couple of weeks, the heart behind this series is really twofold, right? And I want to remind you guys of that. Firstly, it's to understand what it means from a biblical perspective to be zealous for the Lord, right? That's really the first point. And then secondly, it's to encourage all of us, me included, to remain focused on Jesus and to continue to passionately serve Him with zeal in our hearts, just for who He is, right? Because this has been an incredibly tough year for a lot of us, right? It's been incredibly tough on an individual level, but also for us as a church corporately. And maybe for some of us, this has been the toughest year that you've ever faced in your life up until this point. Certainly for us as a church, this has been an incredibly difficult year. And so the heart behind this is really, and because of this, our heart is really with this series, is that God would use His Word to minister to each one of us individually and to us as a church corporately. And that we would be encouraged to continue looking towards Him, right? To continue to consistently serve Him. And that's really what the focus of today's study is going to be, to consistently serving Jesus with passion and with zeal. And I want to remind you of the two parts that we've already covered over the past couple of weeks. The first part that we looked at was just generally what it means to be zealous with for the Lord. And we were really privileged to have Walter with us, and the Lord used Walter amazingly to minister to us. And we saw what it means to be zealous for God, right? It's really that burning desire in our hearts to do His will. If you condense it down to its most condensed form, that's really what it means. And it's to please Him and what His will is in our lives. And that's really the outworking of love, right? Firstly, towards God. But then secondly, as we saw, to our fellow brothers and sisters and the people around us, right? That's what it means to be zealous for God. And as always, when we go to the Bible, we have Jesus as our perfect example. And the key verse that we had a look at there was in John 4, verse 34, right? Right after that encounter with Jesus at the woman of at the well, Jesus spoke to His disciples, and this is what He said. John 4, verse 34, key verse, so jot that down. It says, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." And Walter expanded on that a little bit. And he said the zeal that Jesus had in pleasing God, the Father, was expressed in His desire to do His will. And that doing His will was like food to Him, right? Food that sustains Him and food that nourishes Him. And it's spiritually, right? He was speaking in a spiritual context. And in the same way for us, the zeal that we have towards God is expressed in our lives by a hunger to do His will and to obey Him in His will. And the more we do it, the more we obey Him, the more we seek His will, the more we choose to obey His will in our lives, the more we are fed and the more we are nourished spiritually, which in turn cultivates an even greater desire in our hearts to seek His will and to obey Him in that. And it's this positive feedback circle, right? And then the second part that we talked about was entitled Be Focused, where we specifically look at being focused on God and on His will, right? Because being zealous for God means to have a desire to do His will, right? But then we also have to be looking unto Him to find out what that will is, right? And that's what the second part was all about. It was to be focused on Jesus, to really learn from His Word what His will is specifically for our lives in our daily walk. Right? And the key verse that we had a look at there was in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And you can jot that down as well. Ephesians 2, chapter 10 said, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Such a powerful section of scripture. And so we saw that to be zealous for God is to seek His will. That really means to be actively looking towards Jesus, to see what He has for us, what He has for us to do on a daily basis. And then to choose to obey Him in those opportunities that He gives us, those good works that He's prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's a consistent obeying. And so this morning we're going to be in part three of this series, right? And we're going to be focusing on one aspect specifically, and it's really a danger or a warning to us as Christians as we seek to be zealous for God and as we seek to maintain a zealous heart before the Lord. And it's really just recognizing this potential danger in our lives, right? That has the potential to quench that flame of zeal in our hearts. And I just so love that graphic that the beer made, where it's that flame, that just that fire, as that song said. Now, I was so blessed by that very first song that we sing. It's that's fire that's burning in our hearts, right? That's really the zeal that we have towards the Lord. And today is really a warning to us of how we can continually be focused on Jesus and allowing Him to keep that fire burning in our hearts. And the title for this morning's study is part three, is simply entitled, Be Consistent. But before we continue any further, I would just like to go to the Lord in prayer and just ask Him to bless this time that we spend together in His Word and that He would be the one that ministers to our hearts. So let's do that. Father, what a great privilege it is for us to come together as brothers and sisters in Your name. And Lord Jesus, we recognize, Lord, that we are nothing. And Lord Jesus, we are here because of You, because of the extent of Your great love towards us, Lord, that You, Lord, chose to humble Yourself, Lord, to come down to this earth, Lord, and to die a horrible and horrific death on the cross, Lord Jesus, because You love each and every one of us, Lord. And not only that, Lord, but that You obtained victory on our behalf over death and sin, Lord, so that we can receive the free gift of salvation, Lord Jesus, not because we deserve it, but because You choose to freely give it to us because You love us. And Lord Jesus, as Your Word says, Lord, we are here this morning not because of anything that we've done, Lord. We love You because You first loved us and that You demonstrated that love to us on the cross. And Lord, we want to worship You and we want to honor You with our lives. And that's why we're here this morning, Lord Jesus. We want to delve into Your Word, Lord, to see how we can obey You more, Lord. Our desire is to do Your will. And so, Lord, we pray that You would minister to each one of us, Lord, individually, right where we are, Lord. You know the things that we've been dealing with over the past week, over the past months, Lord. You know the deepest, darkest areas of our hearts and of our lives, Lord. You know what we're struggling with, Lord. You can see us, Lord. We are like an open book before You. And I want to ask, Lord Jesus, just because of Your grace and because of Your love, that You would minister to us as individuals, but also to us as a church corporately, Lord, that we may serve You with passion and zeal, Lord, because You are worthy. So thank You, Lord, for this opportunity, and we pray that You would bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Now, before we started the series, if I came to each one of you individually and I asked you, what do you think, if you have to create a picture in your mind, and I asked you, what would that picture in your mind look like of how someone looks that is zealous? Not just zealous for the Lord, but just zealous in general, right? How would a zealous person look? I think I would get a wide array of responses. But if I can just give you kind of an insight into my mind, when I hear the word zealous, right, the first thing that I think about is this. It's this battlefield, right? And there's this soldier with his rifle and he's sitting in his foxhole and he's like ready to go. And the moment that order comes, he like jumps out of his foxhole, guns blazing, like charging the enemy's lines, right? And he obtains this great victory, right? That's what I think about of being zealous, right? Now, I do recognize that you ladies, that's not maybe the first thing that you thought about, right? But if we have to be honest with ourselves, like on a practical level, we tend to associate zeal for God and for God's Word with great and extravagant, even spectacular acts of faith and obedience, right? Leading to these amazing victories, right? And there's a number of examples like that in the Word. You can just think about, for example, like David standing in front of Goliath. And there's many examples like that in Scripture where people were called to take great and extraordinary steps of obedience and faith, and that the Lord blessed that, right? And that's certainly true, and there are many instances in the Word that describe exactly that. But that is exactly where we have to be careful. You see, the danger for us in cultivating a heart, a zealous heart really for the Lord, is to only think about zeal and zeal for God and zeal for God's Word in that context, right? And I want you to remember this, and as we go through the study, just make a mental note of that in your mind. Because what I would like to submit to you this morning is that one of the key challenges really for us as Christians, as we are seeking to serve the Lord with zeal and cultivating this heart of zeal and passionately serving Him with everything we have, is really to obey Jesus, even in those ordinary, seemingly insignificant daily tasks that may even feel routine, may even feel unimportant, and to do it consistently, daily, motivated by a heart of love and obedience to our God and Savior Jesus Christ simply because He asked us to do it. That is the challenge for us, to maintain and have a real understanding of what it means to serve the Lord with zeal. Just think about it. How many of you like exercise? I certainly do, right? But how often have we come to, like, we're at the end of the year and you have a New Year's resolution, and you get to January and you have this New Year resolution that you're going to start exercising. Say, for example, you're going to start mountain biking. You buy this new bike, you buy the kit, you have everything ready, right? And you are, like, super excited now to start exercising and start mountain biking. And you start off strong and you go for it like two, three times a week. And you exercise, you have this great zeal and this great excitement in doing this. But then it becomes routine. You get used to your new bike, you get used to your new clothes. You may even look at the gains that you're getting. Initially, when you started out, you made significant gains in terms of your fitness levels. But as time goes on, those gains become smaller and smaller and smaller as you get fitter, right? So you don't feel those tangible differences in your body anymore. And the result of that is really that your zeal and your enthusiasm for that exercise just takes a nosedive. And all of a sudden, because it's become routine and you don't see those tangible benefits anymore as you saw at the beginning, you just don't have a heart for it anymore. And you'd start doing it less and less and less. And by the time December comes around, you realize that for 6 months, I haven't even climbed on the bike. And the danger for us is that we inadvertently carry over that same kind of thinking or that mentality into the spiritual realm. Because in the spiritual life, as we've seen in the earlier studies that we've done, our zeal and our passion for the Lord is simply based on doing the will of God our Father. That is our food, as we saw in John 4, verse 34. And it's motivated by love. And it's expression of love through obedience, seeking to do His will. Therefore, in light of that, for us to do His will, our zeal should not be influenced by what we do or what the task is, and neither should it be influenced by the observable benefits of obedience. Things that we can see, right? We start rationalizing things in our minds, and we do this inadvertently, and I'm very guilty of this. We do this cost-benefit analysis in our minds. You're saying, if I have to make the sacrifice, I at least want it to be worth it. But what if the Lord asks you to do something that seems insignificant, and you make that cost-benefit analysis, and based on that rationale in your own mind, you decide whether you're going to obey the Lord or not? And that's really where true zeal for the Lord comes in. If we go to the Word and we look at a verse like Isaiah 6, verse 8, the real heart behind a zeal for the Lord becomes apparent. In Isaiah 6, verse 8, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and whom shall go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" The true heart behind zeal here is demonstrated for us. He's just saying, here I am, Lord. Whatever your will is, whatever the task is, here I am. Send me. I'm willing to do it. No matter whether it makes a sense to me or not, no matter if it seems to be significant or insignificant, the true heart behind zeal for the Lord is, here I am, Lord. I'm available for you to use however you want to use me. In whatever task, whatever situation, here I am, Lord. Because the truth is, a true heart of zeal is not cultivated in those times of spectacular acts of obedience and great victory. That's not where true zeal is demonstrated. True zeal is cultivated and demonstrated in those times of simple, step-by-step obedience to the will of God in your life. It's in those seemingly insignificant moments where you choose to obey the Lord no matter what the observable outcome is. And it's to do it consistently, over and over and over. It's in these acts of consistently obeying God where He is working in us. He's working in me. He's working in you. He's working in us as a church corporately. This is where He's producing faith, where He's creating zeal and passion for His will and for His desires in order to bring about His victory. We've heard it said so often, but it's so true. Is God has to work in us, first of all, before He can work through us. He has to prepare the tool before He can use the tool. And to illustrate this truth, what I want to do this morning is to go again to the Word of God, which is really our ultimate example. And what I want to do is to turn to Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to be reading there from verse 1 through to verse 20. And as you're busy just paging there, this is a very well-known section in Scripture. This is where the Israelites march around the walls of Jericho. But I want to encourage each and every one of you this morning. As you are reading through this section of Scripture, please don't just switch off because you know the story. But rather, as I'm reading this, try and place yourself in the shoes of these people, of these ordinary people, these ordinary soldiers, the ones that are receiving this order, and ask yourself, how would you respond to that? In truth, not in the spiritual Christian thing as that we are here this morning and, you know, someone asks you, how are you doing? And you say, oh, no, I'm doing fine. You know, be open and honest before the Lord. How would you respond to it? Would you obey an order like that? And in your daily life now, if the Lord speaks to you, if He reveals your will to Him, how do you respond to Him and His will for your life? And you guys know me by now. I get super excited about the Word and reading the Word and just reading these examples in the Word. And as we read this, again, it's not a story, right? It's not this made-up thing about a movie or something that happened. This really happened. This is real life. This is just documented for us in the Word. This really happened. And so in the context of that, place yourself in the shoes, or I would say the sandals of these people as they were walking around Jericho. So let's read there. Joshua chapter 6 from verse 1, and we're going to be reading all the way through to verse 20. And because we can. Because it's the Word of God and it's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So let's do that. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all your men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests and who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. And on that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things. Lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and a trouble to it. But all the silver and gold, and vessels of bronze and iron, are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. I love the Bible. I always think about this, and you hear De Beer saying this often, but why do you want to watch action movies, right? There's more than enough action just in the Bible and reading your Bible and placing yourself in these people's shoes, right? But this is an amazing account, a true story of how God brought about victory for his people. But what I would like to draw your attention on this morning specifically is the nature of the instruction that was given to Joshua, which he then passed on to the people. And again, just to summarize what this instruction was, lest we forget. Seven priests shall have seven trumpets of ram's horns, right? And they shall go before the ark, and armed men shall go before the priests. Then we have the rear guard that came after the priests, and they shall not shout or make a noise with their voice. And in this manner, they shall walk around Jericho once a day for 6 days. Then they shall return to the camp. On the seventh day, they will walk around the city 7 times, 6 times in silence. And then on the seventh time, when the trumpets sound, they shall all shout with a great shout, and then the wall will fall down flat. And every man shall go up straight before him. Imagine if you received that order in that time. And I know I'm really hammering on that. But for me personally, just with how my mind works and how it just tends to naturally start rationalizing things. Think about it. What that kind of battle strategy that is. These people have just gone over the Jordan. They are ready. They are ready to go and fight and take the promised land that God is going to give them. And now the Lord says to them, walk around the city. And then you walk around it again. And then you walk around it again. and then you walk around it again, and so on. What kind of battle strategy is that? And to think about it, right? This is Joshua receiving the orders from the Lord, and then Joshua is relaying the orders to the rest of the people of Israel. And this is not 10 or 15 people. These are hundreds of thousands, more than a million people. Were they people that were murmuring? Were they people that just talk amongst themselves saying, what kind of a strategy is this? Why are we doing this? This is stupid. Or was everyone with one heart just obeying the voice of the Lord? And again, I'm really hammering on this, but I would like you to ask yourself the question, would you obey this? Would you be one of those people that murmurs? Or would you be saying, here I am, Lord, send me. Whatever you want to do, I'm there. It makes no human sense to walk around a city and expect the walls to fall down flat. That makes no human sense. And to take it a step further, would you consistently obey that order, accurately executing that order over a period of 7 days, simply because you are trusting in the Lord and you are obeying Him simply because of who He is? That's a really difficult question for us to answer in our own spiritual walk. And as I was preparing for this, the Lord is doing a couple of things in my life, and the Lord was really ministering this question to me on a very deep and personal level. Who am I in this equation? Would I be the guy that murmurs, or would I be the guy that says, yes, Lord, here I am, send me? And this is such a vivid example to us of how God was working in His people before He could work through them. Think about it. God could have made those walls fall down flat as they were busy approaching the city on the very first day. He was going to make the walls fall down flat anyway. So why did He choose to have them walk around the city 6 days? God was working in the hearts of His people, cultivating in them faith, creating in them a zeal for His will and for what He wants to do. God was testing them in their obedience to His direction. He was giving them the opportunity on a daily basis to choose to obey Him or not, in a task that seems stupid and insignificant if we look at it from a human perspective. But it had great spiritual significance. And the question is why? Because every time they needed to walk around that city, it was an affirmation from their part. Where they were demonstrating by their actions that they are choosing to trust in the Lord, that they are choosing to obey Him, that they were choosing to obey His will for their lives and His direction for them as individuals, but also for them as a nation, simply because they knew who He is, simply because of the fact that He is God. And God used that. God used that to prepare them for the day when He was going to provide His victory for them. And as always, God was working in them before He could work through them. But they needed to be prepared. Their hearts needed to be prepared in order to receive that victory. The reality really for us is that glorious victory that we see at the end of the 7 days, where the walls fell down flat, that's not the true demonstration of real zeal for the Lord. In this account that we're reading here, a true demonstration of having zeal for the Lord was demonstrated and cultivated every single time when they walked around that wall. Every single time where they chose to obey God, even though they didn't understand why. Even though it made no human sense to them whatsoever. And that's a challenge to me in my daily walk with the Lord. Because it's simple. In those simple acts of routine obedience to the Lord, what is the Lord calling you to obey tomorrow morning or during the course of your day? What does the Lord have for you as we are looking towards Him, as we are seeking His will? And then when He speaks to us, do we choose to obey Him in that? Because we have a choice. We have a choice to obey him in that or not. But we also have a choice. Are we going to rationalize that obedience or not? Are we simply going to obey because we know him and because we love him, that our obedience is motivated by love? And really what I want to do is to end off this study. I want to circle back to that verse that we've just read in Ephesians chapter 2. Circle back to that verse again and just re-emphasize the fact that God has prepared good works for us beforehand to walk in. Let's read that verse again. It says, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The reality of it is that we are God's workmanship. We are his creations, but we are also a work in progress. That fancy Christian word is called sanctification. And you guys know it by now because the beer is taught on this often. But we are constantly being molded and shaped into the image of Jesus Christ. We are on this process of sanctification, this journey, where God has not only prepared opportunities for us, where he wants to use us as instruments in his hand to reach people around us, but God has also prepared opportunities for us where we can choose to obey him or not, where the main purpose of that opportunity is spiritual growth in your life and in mine and in us as a church corporately. And this is in the context of this entire series that we've been looking at. If you've come to realize that you lack in zeal in your heart towards the Lord, and you feel that you want to have a greater passion in your heart to not only just seek his will, but also to do his will. If you come to realize that, that's a great place to be. And the logical response for that is to look towards Jesus and to pray and ask him to help him, to help you, to create in you a true heart of zeal in your life, right? But the thing is, when you do pray that, when you're looking towards Jesus and you ask him to do that in your life, what I want to encourage you with is to be on the lookout for opportunities. Because we serve a faithful God. He hears our prayers. And when you ask the Lord to help you and to develop a heart of zeal in your life, he's going to give you the opportunity to do that. He's going to create opportunities in your life where he's going to exercise you in order to develop zeal in your heart. And this is not a work. It's not a works-based thing. And to illustrate that, think about it. If you go to the gym and you've decided now you want to exercise and you want to develop biceps, right? So now you go to the gym. It's a choice that you go to the gym. It's a choice that you exercise to pick up that dumbbell and start doing curls. But no matter how hard you will it, you cannot change the biology that happens in your life or in your body, where amino acids, proteins have to be broken down. Those amino acids have to be assembled in a certain way to make muscle tissue in order for your body to respond to the fact that you are busy doing dumbbell curls in order to build muscle. There's no way that you can decide and just choose in order for your body to do that. And in much the same way, that's how the Lord works in our lives. The Lord gives you the opportunity. He creates the opportunity for you to exercise in order to create that he wants to create zeal in your life. And all you have to do is to choose to obey him. And he does everything else. Everything else happens by the power of his spirit. But he gives you the choice, right? And it's a consistent choice. And that's really where the title of this study comes in for us today. We have a choice to either choose or not to consistently obey the voice of the Lord, even in those seemingly insignificant routine daily tasks. And as we saw in this example that we looked at this morning, it's in those seemingly insignificant choices that we make on a daily basis where we choose to obey the will of God in our lives, even if we don't understand where the Lord is creating faith in our hearts, where the Lord is creating passion and zeal in our hearts towards him. You don't have to understand why. Someone once said that you don't have to understand the why You just have to understand the who. And I've thought about this often. I don't have to understand why things are happening. I just have to understand who the one is that has everything in his hand. And that's what the word tells us. And that's why we have such a great emphasis on the word. Because you learn who God is. You learn who Jesus is by spending time in his word. The word says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. This is where you meet Jesus. This is where he reveals himself to you. And I want to encourage you to spend time in your word. Spend time getting to know Jesus through his word. Then you don't have to understand why, because you understand him. He has demonstrated his love already for you on the cross. His love for you is perfect. And when we choose to obey him in those seemingly insignificant tasks, in those times where we don't feel that we understand why, something amazing happens. Over time, as you consistently seek his will, you consistently choose to obey him, what you will find is that God is creating in you a desire for him, a desire for his desires, something that you've never had before. And if I think about this, before I got saved, I was always thinking about my goals, the things that I want to achieve, the things that were important to me. And I never sat down and thought, once I gave my life to Jesus, that now I need to change my goals. Now I need to change the things I want. That happened automatically. That, to me, that's my personal testimony. The Lord came into my life, and all of a sudden, the Lord changed me. Over the course of a period of months and years, the Lord changed me to want the things that he wants, replacing my desires with his desire. And I want to leave you with one final section of scripture that illustrates this to us. And a lot of people have used this section of scripture out of context, but I want to encourage you to look at this section of scripture in the light of the Lord working in your life. It's Psalm 37, verses 3 to 4. Very famous section of scripture. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And you know what? A lot of people read that verse and they think like, oh, I'm going to seek the Lord and then he's going to do for me what I want him to do for me. That's really the wrong way around. If you trust the Lord, if you're looking towards him, if you're doing good, if you're walking in those good works that God has prepared beforehand for you to walk in, if you're dwelling in the land, if you remain where the Lord has placed you and you're looking towards him in faith and you feed on his faithfulness, just reflecting and meditating on the faithfulness of God, where he's brought you from, where you are currently, and you delight yourself in that, you just worship him, you praise him for that. The outworking of that is he shall give you the desires of your heart. And what that really means is the Lord says that he's going to remove your desires, your things, the things that you want, and he's going to replace it with the things that he wants. So that when the Lord does his will in your life, the things that you want are really the things that he wants. And when he accomplishes his will in your life, what you want gets done. Because it's the Lord's will and not your will. And I've experienced that in my own life where I suddenly look at, I don't actually care whether I get that promotion. I'm just wondering, does the Lord want me there or does he want me here? Really, it doesn't matter, left or right, as long as I'm in the will of the Lord, because I want what he wants. And that's not a reflection on me. That's a reflection on the Lord. That's a work that he did. And I want to encourage you to be in the Lord, as we've seen through these sections, that these parts that we've been doing over the course of the last 3 weeks. The first one is to look at it, to look at that word, to be zealous for the Lord, and to again just realize what that means is it's a burning desire in your heart to do God's will. Then to be focused on Jesus, to find out what that will is. And then thirdly, once the Lord has spoken to you, choose to be obedient in that and just choose to obey the Lord, even if it seems routine, even if it seems simple, obey him because he's your Lord and Savior. The Bible said that we were bought at a price. And because of the fact that we were bought at a price, we are no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to him who bought us. And I want to encourage you with that. And something that stuck out to me last week when Walter was doing the sermon, he said that those good works that the Lord is speaking about can be something as simple as a prayer meeting. Just to go to a prayer meeting, not with the attitude of what I can get out of it, but to have that attitude of how can I intercede for my fellow brothers and sisters and really pray for them and fight the spiritual battle on their behalf. That can be something as insignificant. These prayer meetings are here every week. We announce them every single week. It seems routine. It seems to be something simple. But it may be something that the Lord is maybe speaking to you about personally in your life, where the Lord is calling you to say, well, maybe you should get up a little bit earlier. And you have the choice. Am I going to obey or am I not? It's your choice. And the Lord is not going to condemn you for not attending a prayer meeting. But man, we want to live in the fullness of what God has for us. I want to live in the fullness of what God has for us. And we want to walk in the fullness as a church of what the Lord has for us. And that's really what this section of scripture is about that we've been looking at this morning, is that those seemingly insignificant acts of obedience that the Israelites did every single day walking around the walls of Jericho, those acts of obedience led to a great victory. And it was God's victory that he accomplished through them. And we want to see God accomplishing great things in and through us as individuals, but also in and through us as a church. And this is really what being zealous is all about. Being zealous for the Lord, no matter what he is asking of us. Right. That's really all I have for you this morning. And I pray that the Lord would use his word and minister to each one of us individually. So let's just end off in prayer. Father, we want to come before you and we realize, Lord, that we are nothing without you. Your word says that you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. There's no one like you. You spoke, Lord, and there was light. And apart from you, there's no God. And we are here this morning because of you, because we love you and because we want to serve you. And as we come to your word, Lord, we realize that we fall short in so many areas. And as Gavin shared this morning, just in the devotion, that you are faithful even if we are faithless. You cannot deny yourself. And based on your grace and your love towards us, we want to come before you this morning and we want to come and sit at your feet, Lord Jesus. And we want to ask you that you would create in us a heart that's passionate to serve you, a heart that's willing to obey you and say, here I am, Lord, send me. And even though we don't understand our circumstances, even though we don't understand what is happening and how to make sense of things around us, would you help us, Lord Jesus, to look at you, to see you, to look towards you and to allow you to minister to us, allow you to minister in our lives, that we would choose just to take that next step and then the next one and then the next one, purely out of a heart of obedience towards you because we love you. And we need recognize, Lord, that we need your spirit in order to do that. And so I want to pray for myself and of my fellow brothers and sisters here this morning, and also those that could not join us here this morning, that you would work in our hearts, that we would have hearts of obedience towards you, that we would consistently obey you and not look at why or what is happening around us or try and rationalize the choices, but Lord, that we would simply obey you as children, because we know you and we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and I pray that you would minister this to us, Lord. And I also want to pray for every single one of us that we would be open to those opportunities, Lord, as we are busy praying for this, as we are busy praying for a heart of zeal towards you, Lord, that when you create those opportunities for us to grow spiritually, that we would recognize it, that we would hear your still small voice, Lord, and that we would choose to obey you, Lord, in that. I want to pray, Father, that we would be people that is open and willing to be used by you, Lord, no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen.